Are you expecting?
Yes.
Now, one of the things that we have to embrace is the fact that Jesus said twice in the Gospels, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." In other words, what is a listening ear? A willing mind and heart. So when you make a decision, I'm going to hear God because I'm open and yielded for God to talk to me. Amen. You know, the Pharisees, he would always say, he said, "These guys are blind guides. These guys are blind." Well, in other words, they turned a deaf ear to Jesus, truth, the truth that he was, they were stuck on their religious tradition. They were stuck on their concept of reality and their concept of truth, and they weren't willing to change. Now, he said in Luke very specifically, Luke chapter 8, take heed how you hear. So in other words, that also includes our will, because we have to adjust our attitude every time we approach the word. That it's not rote, it's not regimen, it's not just routine, or I've heard that before. And I know that. In other words, taking heed how you hear is your attitude. But you control your attitude, right? You have to make an attitude adjustment. Say, "Lord, I'm going to get something brand new today. I'm going to see something wonderful today." You might have read that scripture 100 times, but for the 101st time, you're open and you're ready to receive. Now, you remember in Revelations, he told each church 7 times, different churches, but he told each church one, "He that hath an ear," what? Let him hear. That word "let" is a will statement. You got to allow yourself to hear him. Because if you allow yourself just to hear me, then you'll mute me out sometimes. I'm just a vessel. Amen. I'm just the mouthpiece. But you got to open your heart and mind and to enable the Lord to open your ears to hear what the Lord wants you to hear. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He's not talking about these flaps right here. He's talking about your heart, your head, hearing him, comprehending him, learning and receiving from him. Are you ready tonight? All right. Let's get into it. Okay, so we're going to be talking again. We're going to pick up with, again, partnership and principles for adversity. So we'll begin reading at Philippians chapter 1. Yeah, you go ahead and pass those out. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 26. We'll read through verse 26. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Verse 8, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I may shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, not so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Verse 23, for I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident in this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Christ Jesus by my coming to you again. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's talk about the aspect of partnership, which we left off last week. If you have your second handout, which is dated today, it has a little bridge on the front of it, a little drawing that we put together there. Because Philippians is a book about partnership, many other things, but let's just emphasize partnership for just a moment and how it ties in with these principles that adversity, because, you know, we have an enemy that tries to destroy partnership, but also tries to disrupt our progress through adversity. He's a persistent person, the devil is. And so we highlight it and emphasize that Paul uses a word in the Greek, koinonia, in the Greek, to emphasize five aspects of partnership in his letter, in epistle to the Philippian church. Five aspects of partnership. Five different aspects. And so we see the first one we read just a moment ago in verse 5. You've got it there in your handout. Paul says, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation and contributions and partnership. Now, that really spells it out. Your sympathetic cooperation, your contributions and partnership in advancing the good news, the gospel, from the first day you heard it until now. So we see the first partnership is a partnership in the gospel. The second one we see in verse 7. Verse 7, you've got this scripture verse there in the Amplified I've got rid of. It is right and appropriate for me to have this confidence and feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart and hold you in my heart as partakers and sharers, one and all with me, of grace, God's unmerited favor and blessing. This is true both when I am shut up in prison and when I am in the defense and confirmation and of the good news of the gospel. So in other words, there was a partnership in the grace of God, but it comes about through the things that we come to us in an area of weakness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he said, I glory in tribulation and infirmities and in necessities, because when I'm weak, he is strong, because God told him, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. So we have to understand that the grace will be available even though we go through difficulties. demonic attacks, devastating circumstances, disappointments in life. God's grace. Everybody say, God's grace is sufficient for me. So why is that? To keep you moving with his empowering touch on your life, to remain faithful and to remain focused and to finish the job. Amen. We should all have this expression, quit is not in my vocabulary. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:1 is another aspect of partnership. He said, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, any fellowship, that's that word, koinonia again, partnership. So fellowship is not just socializing in this context. It is a word that means partnership. That's a better rendering of it, or more stronger meaning. We put even the Greek word there, the Greek definition. The first mention of definition for that word, koinonia, is partnership. You're a partner. You are a partner. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a partner. So that means you're a partaker of what God has to do here at TWCC. Can I have an amen? Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So we partnership in suffering for the power of God. So we know Jesus suffered, but it produced through his resurrection the power of God. Same thing with us. There's a special dispensation of the power of God that comes upon when we suffer as being a Christian. Now, we talked about it last week. When you suffer as an evildoer, you get in trouble. Amen. Philippians 4:15. Amplified, I got it there too, because it kind of spells it out a little bit better. And you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church or assembly entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account, giving and receiving except you only. So there was a partnership in finances. So we see all these five aspects of partnerships that should occur in an assembly or in a church. Now, most people don't think of themselves as partners, but you got to start thinking like that. I'm not just coming to attend church. I am the church, and I'm a part of the church. Those are sub-root words for partner or partnership, partaking. You partake of the gospel together with us. Amen. And so this first aspect, as you see here, as we're partnering in the gospel, let me move it to the middle. Everybody can see it, kind of. This first aspect of partnering in the gospel is, what are we doing as partners? Well, kind of got to list it out. Everybody bands together, partners together to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, to publish the gospel, to promote the gospel, to progress the gospel, to proliferate, that means extend it forward or move it forward aggressively, and provide for the gospel. Amen. What are we supposed to be doing? Promoting the gospel, proliferating the gospel, preaching the gospel, providing for the gospel. And you've got the paper there. It shows you an illustration of, I put on there, of a bridge. So think of partnership like a bridge. We used a table last time, Sunday, when we talked about it a little bit. But this bridge has these two large things that kind of help suspend the bridge up. They help suspend the bridge. So how will we translate that into, I just wanted to give you a visual picture, to the aspect of us partnering together in the gospel. Well, I want to submit to you, there's two aspects of partnership that everyone needs to embrace. If not, we're not good doing our part as a partner. Number one is prayer, and the other one is finances. Now, a lot of people don't see that. And Paul, as we talked about last week, really loved the Philippian church, because he said, nobody entered into partnership with me from the first day of the gospel ministry, except you guys. In other words, they came on board as partners from day one. You know, all these other churches are waiting back and saying, well, let me see how things going to work out. Well, let's wait till you get out of prison. No, they were partners. Amen. And in the modern day 2018 context of a church, and as we related to you last week, a church is just not a social club. Paul says in this book, Philippians, that we are citizens of heaven. Amen. That means we belong, we are to represent him. Now, we just came out of discipleship series early this year, and we know that we are heaven's representatives on earth. Well, we are an assembly. In other words, we would call it, in a foreign country, an embassy. We are ambassadors for Christ. Does everybody believe that? Yes. So you are an ambassador for Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It tells us a couple of times that we are ambassadors. Ambassadors represent their government from another country, in another country. So the embassy is TWCC. We all are ambassadors, the assembly of ambassadors at TWCC, representing the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. We are to partner together for his plans and his priorities that he has for this embassy. Amen. That means we have a vision, mission, values that we should embrace. And so your partnership is to grab a hold of that. We often say catch the vision, carry the vision, and convey the vision. See, this goes up against religious thinking because some people think, well, you know, old tradition is, you know, the pastor is everything, and we just go to the pastor for everything we need. No, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. We all have a part to play and a part to take. Does that make sense? And partnership is one of the big reasons why you come to church. We said it before. Salvation is personal, but not private. So if you're representing the government of God, the kingdom of God, the heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, in the context of a church, is usually headed up by a pastor. So you partner with that pastor to ensure the mission and objectives are accomplished. We have a mission to go preach the gospel. Isn't that right? So the assignment is general, but it's also unique to our location and our community in which we are being established by God to be assembled for. So everybody in this church must have to embrace that mission and vision and say, what's my part, Lord, in this? Amen. Well, the fundamental part is you to pray and then financial partnership. Let me show you how this works. So Hebrews tells us that we are to provoke one another good works. In other words, we should be spurring each other on to do what? Be good partners in the gospel. Either preaching, proclaiming, publishing, promoting, progressing, proliferating, and providing for the gospel. What a social club, what does a social club do? What does a soulless church, not a spiritual church, do? A soulless church talks about all the things they got going on in their world. Only. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's only the things we talk about, and we don't talk about the mission, we don't realize that I'm on assignment. You don't become an ambassador unless you have an assignment. Our assignment has already been given. And so then you have a mentality that I've got a job to do. I've got a part to play. I've got a part to take. The power of partnership puts us in a position. It enables and equips and empowers us to be together times 10. The Old Testament tells us one could put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. So we're 10 times stronger together than individual and independent. That individualism and independence is what's pervasive in the world system, because everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a thought about it. Everybody's got something to say about it. And, you know, everybody's got a decision, you know, free moral agency. So they don't see that I'm under command. I'm on assignment. I'm under orders from the kingdom and government of heaven. Now, if when we become partners, we become enabled, equipped, and empowered to do it. Remember, even in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, I believe, when they were building the Tower of Babel. Anybody remember the story of the Tower of Babel? And the Trinity, the Godhead, said, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, well, his word back then, pre-carnate Christ. He said, there's nothing that can be withheld for what they have imagined to do, because the people are as one. And these were wicked, ungodly thoughts going on in that whole scenario of building a tower up to heaven. He said, so they had to go split them up by compounding their languages so they couldn't communicate. And the Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:10 that we all should speak the same thing, and that there be what? No divisions among us. But that we would have the same mind and the same judgments, same understanding. What are we supposed to accomplish here? I'm all in. I'm in. Let's do it. Philippians 1:27. Let's look at that, since it's in our Philippian book. Philippians 1:27. I'm going to read it out of King James, and then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Becometh the gospel of Christ. What did he say? Whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you what? Look at this, three things. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, too, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing, verse 28, terrified by your adversaries, in nothing, not running scared and running and retreating into being inclusive and isolated, you know, being a recluse, and isolated because I'm going through stuff. So we see stand fast in one spirit with one mind and striving together. Everybody say one spirit, one mind, striving together. Now look at verse 27 in the Amplified. It says, only be sure as citizens. Where are we citizens? Everybody say heaven. So conduct yourselves that your manner of life will be worthy of the good news of the gospel. So everybody has a responsibility as a partner to live worthy of the good of the gospel of Christ, for so that whether I do come and see you or be I'm absent, I may hear of this of you, that you are standing firm, united in spirit and purpose, striving side by side and contending for the single mind, with a single mind for the faith of the glad tidings of the gospel. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know Psalms 133, that whole chapter is only three verses, I think. It says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, what? In unity. It's like the anointing. Unity is a secret to supernatural power. And that means everybody has to take their part and take their place. Be a partner. Everybody say, I'm a partner. You're supposed to be a partner. So like this bridge, partnership has two big components. We said prayer, and we've got these prayer scriptures. Now I'm going to run through them. I'm going to let TJ put them on the board here. Go ahead. Romans 15, 30 through 33. Romans 15, 30 through 33. Because some people think, well, only the pastor has to pray for me. But a good partner knows I got to pray for my pastor. Amen. I got to pray for my pastors. Amen. This goes back to this hearing thing. It's hard to hear somebody you hadn't prayed for. Now, I plead with you. Now, he's pleading with them. Brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you all strive together with me in your prayers to God for who? For me. Prayers to God for me. And you can read the rest of it. Let's go to the next scripture. The next scripture. We're going to cover a lot of scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:11. 2 Corinthians 1:11. 2 Corinthians 1:11. Everybody say, I got to pray for my pastor. Pastors, I got to pray for my pastors, and you have to stir yourself up to do it, because you can go, you know, Samuel says you can sin against God by ceasing to pray for people, and that means it's a sin of not being a good partner, because God expects us to be good partners. All of you also helping together by prayer for who? Us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given on our behalf. So he was talking about prayer for us, prayer on our behalf. Praise God. Let's go to the next one. Ephesians 6, 18, 19. Ephesians 6, 18, 19. Praying always in all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, and perseverance, supplication for all saints. And for me, who? The pastors. Everybody say, my pastors. That utterance may be given unto them. See, some people pray out of their head, but to pray out of your heart means praying in the word in faith. Pray the word in faith. Pray for them that they may open their mouths boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. We're talking about partnership in the gospel. The first part is prayer. Amen. Amen. All right, next one. Let's go to the next one. Colossians 4:3. Colossians 4:3. I want the word to stir you up and give you concept tonight. With all praying also for who? Us. Likewise, praying for that the word of God, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. So he was in prison when he said this, but he said he wants a door to be speaking, utterance. Because see, we should not be limited to what I know or don't know, or Pastor Cynthia knows or don't know. Utterance is not depending on the speaker. It's the Spirit that gives utterance. Acts 2:4. The Spirit gives utterance. So you got to partner with the Holy Spirit to pray that the pastors speak with utterance. That means they're not limited to our knowledge of things, our knowledge about things, our knowledge of the Word. Utterance can come right out of heaven and come right into your heart. That means supernatural hearing and listening ability. That means you're not just hearing Pastor Ed or Pastor Cynthia talk or speak. You're hearing from the Lord. Supernaturally, it's vibrating and speaking volumes inside your spirit. Amen. And you see and hear supernaturally. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Door of utterance. Everybody say door of utterance. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. So let's work the word a little bit. How much prayer is going on for your pastors in your life? Y'all know when y'all send a text or whatever, we drop what we do, because that's our part, to pray for you. We pray for you all the time. And then when you want press special prayer, we pray. Or we might tell you to go listen to the Holy Spirit or get back and meditate on your scriptures before we pray. But there should be all kinds of prayers going up. Not just from a small select group of people or just your pastor. A prayer should be going up from the people, the partners in the church. Keeping that bridge up. Amen. Because you know, if cars on that bridge, for example, and prayer breaks down, the bridge breaks down, the partnership breaks down. And we know the whole concept of unity and division. You know, a house divided against itself won't what? Stand. Every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation. So in other words, we scratch our heads like, well, how come new people aren't coming to church? How come things aren't happening financially for us? How come this is not going on? What's taking this too long? We got to look at the partnership. The first priority of partnership is the partnership in the gospel. Are we getting the gospel out? Now, we're going to have a good opportunity this weekend to get the gospel presented to people through a sharing and showing aspect. But it can't just be once every 6 months. It's got to be ongoing and continuous. Are you listening to me? All right. Let's look at one more. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. This is a good one. I'm giving you scriptures that tell you, instruct you to pray for your pastors. Now, I pray for my spiritual leaders and pastors. I pray for them often. I would say every day, but it's not every day. It's almost every day. Why? Because I need to hear from them. They speak into my life. They feed me. Amen. I'm not going to just push the YouTube video or the MP3 or the recorded sermon and just listen to them, because I may not be able to hear God through them. I'm praying for them. Amen. Amen. Finally, brethren, pray for who? Pray for us. Paul's writing, Church of Thessalonica, that the what? That the word of the Lord may have what? And be glorified, even as it is among you. Because, you know, spiritual things can be limited or restricted based on the receptivity and the expectation of the audience. So as Brother Hagin used to say, sometimes you can preach and it'd be like hitting a rubber ball against a wall. It's bouncing back to it. I've experienced that before. I've experienced, personally speaking, times where everybody was kind of sitting down and you couldn't get out and say what you wanted from what you had from the Lord to say to that audience. Amen. And some people unhook, some so to speak, when they listen to the word, because they're note takers, but they're not listeners. It's better to listen with your heart and your spirit open, your spiritual ears and antenna receptive, and drawing instead of writing in the natural as an academia. Academic type of situation. I'm just going to get more information. Amen. Amen. Pastor Keith Moore did that at the Believers' Conference. He said, wait a minute, some of y'all unhooked already, because he got them expecting, and the word of knowledge starts going, and the gifts of spirit, the confirmation of the word was flowing, and then some people went back into the note-taking mode. I got to write down every scripture and everything. No, you got to hear with your heart. I used to watch these older ministers and stuff. They'd be sitting up in front, but they had their Bible open. They're looking, but they're listening. They're not wasting time just all engaged in, like they're in school, like as the class. They're listening to the Holy Spirit. Because they know I can get the CDs or DVDs or recording and go back and listen. And as the Lord tells me, I take a note down. He that hath what? An ear, let him hear what? What the Spirit is saying to you. You don't just write down everything I say. You write down what the Spirit is saying to you. What the Lord is telling you. Is this helping somebody? So you got to pray for the Word of God to be unrestrained and unrestricted and unhindered. Amen. Because some people can walk in with the harassment of the devil all over them, and they put a wet blanket on things. And if I'm here at church, but I'm ready to go home. Praise God. We can go a lot more in that area, but let's go to finances. All right? It's good eating. It's a sense of urgency. This is why I'm covering it. It's a sense of urgency that we cover this because it's so important that as we partner together. This is for the life and health and longevity of this church, that we have partners. A strong partner base. And we often say membership is partnership. It can't be traditional in your mindset that, well, the pastor will take care of it. Because when we flake out, fall out, call out, it affects the partner base. Yes. That bridge starts getting cracked. Amen. Amen. All right, Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:6. Each person has their part. Now you're going to see a good illustration of this right here in these verses here. Galatians 6, let him who's taught in the word do what? Communicate unto him. That's a word of communication. That means share, contribute, support. Share, contribute, support. How many good things? All good things with who? With the where you're taught. You know, we were having a conversation with someone who's not here, and they were talking about a television preacher who was calling them and harassing them and wanting money and continue to say, well, we're going to send you this and send you that for money. You have to give where you're taught. Some people say, well, you know, I'll just cut up my ties to different stuff. No, you don't cut up your ties to different stuff. You bring all your tithes to the storehouse. What is your storehouse? Your storehouse is where you get fed, where you get taught. Amen. Amen. Communicate all good things. Contribute to their support to the teacher. Now, he just didn't single out generalities and say, just do it to the church. He said, do it to the teachers. Now, Romans put it this way. I'm not going to go to that scripture because of time. He said it this way. He said, if you've been given spiritual things, it's your duty to give carnal things. So this is how this financial pillar of partnership is held up. You get spiritual valuables, spiritual truths, which are more higher than financial money. You can't buy revelations and things like that you get it from someone who teaches the word and preaches the word. You can't put a price tag and a limit value on that. I mean, all the answered prayers that some of us have experienced, I mean, we can go through a list of them in this church. Just in the last month, the answered prayers. God still answers prayers. The increase people have experienced financially, promotions on their job. We have people that got healed. You know, Mike was one of them. He was long distance. We prayed for him. He got healed. His foot healed. He was almost in an amputation state. But he got healed by the power of God. Well, that was us praying for him. Amen. Releasing our faith for him. The spiritual things. Amen. Amen? Can't put a value on it. But the reciprocity law requires that it is your duty to render material or financial things. Yes. Now, 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule perform rule well be counted worthy of how much honor? Double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine, or who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. Amen. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and their labor is worthy of his reward. Now, this gets some people mixed up because they think financial support is just for causes and just for poor situations, people that need it. Because I've been in this thing all my life, and some people look at and say, well, he doesn't or she doesn't, the pastor, don't need it. I mean, I talk to my brothers and other people, and they say, well, they got this, they got that. They don't need. It's not about need. Amen. The need is to honor. Amen. The need is to esteem highly for the spiritual work that that's being done. If someone's faithfully teaching and preaching the word, then it's, the scripture says they're worthy of how much honor?
Double honor.
Now, Romans 13 says, render to them honor whom honor is due. 13:7. Custom to whom custom is due. Honor to whose honor. But he says, if they're faithful in preaching and teaching, which you do get, how much honor should?
Double honor.
That means where you would honor somebody, you would have to double up. To spiritual leaders. In other words, you don't give to the heart for the house if you haven't given to the minister and the ministry to make sure they're taken care of first before you give to something else. We always tell people when you contribute financially, always go through a progression. Amen. Don't support projects or other things until you make sure the main thing is taken care of. The main thing is the church and the leader of the church, the leaders of the church. Amen. Because it's easy to say, well, I'm going to sacrifice my offering to give to a cause when you haven't been faithful honoring and giving double honor to the main cause. Everybody say partnership.
Partnership.
Everybody good? Everybody's good at it? All right, 1 Corinthians 9:7-14. Let's look at that. I want to get a good foundation of scripture. So I'm not just pulling out an isolated verse that tells you you only have to pray once for the pastors or you only have to give once to the pastors. And some people get locked in the condition. Well, we're just going to limit it to a birthday and an anniversary. Amen. All right. Who goes to warfare at any time at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and eats of the fruit, not of the fruit? Or who feeds the flock and not eat the milk of the flock? Next verse. Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? Next verse. For it is written in the law of Moses, you should not suppress the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. This is the second time he's quoting from the Old Testament. He brought it over in the New Testament. Don't muzzle or suppress the ox that treads out the corn. So if the pastors are laboring in the word and prayer and getting the truths to taught so you got good eating on Sunday and Wednesday night, he said, don't muzzle them. How do you muzzle them? He said, does God take care for the oxen? If they're treading out truths, we ought to be bringing in the treasure. Amen. Verse 10, or does he set it all together for our sake? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, for he that plows should plow in hope, and he that threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. Next verse. If we have sown unto you what? Spiritual things. Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal thing? Nothing should be said, well, that's too much.
Amen.
All right, keep going. One more. If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffered all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Keep going. Do you not all know that they which minister the holy things live of the holy things of the temple, and they which wait on the altar are all partakers of the altar? Even so has the Lord ordained. Who ordained it? The Lord's ordained. That they which preach the gospel should do what? Live of the gospel. Because, see, some people, again, restrict mindset, right? Traditional mindset. They restrict the finances of the church just to keeping the lights on, paying the bills, feeding the poor.
Amen.
But they never talk about take care of the preacher. Because they've probably seen a few people abuse it or misuse, and they got this slanted view that, well, I don't care how the preacher's taken care of. And they don't even pray that way. They pray that the lights be paid. Amen. They pray for the project more than the preacher. Glory to God. All right. Luke 10:7. No, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Y'all sure are quiet tonight. Everybody say partnership. All right. We plead you, dear brethren, know them which labor among you and them which are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. So he's being very specific here who he's talking about. Your spiritual leaders. Keep going. Next verse. Is it? Is it coming? I'll read. He said, and to esteem them. Now remember, we exalt who? Jesus. We don't exalt a man. You don't exalt me or Pastor Cynthia or anybody like that. You don't exalt leaders. You esteem leaders, though. He said, esteem them very high, what? Very lowly. Very highly. In love, right motive, right? And right methods. Whenever you're doing it out of love, it's always the right motive and the right methods. He said, for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Amen. Esteem them very highly. Praise God. And so we said, we're in it, when esteem leaves, when love leaves and esteem leaves, that's an honor action, then peace leaves. Strife comes in, division, and the anointing gets stopped up. The anointing is the power of God that will enable us to get things done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. We got 5 more minutes and we'll close down. Everybody say partner.
Partner.
Now that's just partnering with the gospel. That means we work and strive together. We have one spirit. That means we have to get rid of a spirit of independence and doing being individualistic, right?
Yes.
And we had to, one spirit, team spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And let's go back to Philippians chapter 1. Because when we do that, adversity will show up to try to get us the old MO of the devil, method of operations, MO, that's what I mean by say that. The old method of operations is to divide and conquer. Because he knows that's his secret weapon. And so what he does, he creates a little fire in this sister's camp, a little fire over here in this sister's camp, a little fire in this brother's camp, a little fire in this brother's camp, so forth and so on. And then what we do? We stop focusing on we to me. And these are the principles for adversity, because it's to help us power through as partners. Now, one scripture that's not in this verse, but it's in 1 Corinthians 12, we often bring it up. When one member suffer, we all suffer together with. It's because we're one team. When a teammate's down, we're all down. And our prayer and support should always be, let's keep the bridge up. Let's keep the gospel moving. And we say, Lord, you got to take care of this in my world, because I don't want to get distracted and disrupted and discouraged from moving the gospel forward through the church. And then that helps me not make decisions and I'm going to call out and quit. That's why I make a big deal about coming to church. Well, I remind people and text people and probably annoy some people. But it's a big deal. We got something to do before he comes back for us. Amen. And it's not just stirred up every once in a while, but he said, exhort one another daily as you see the day approaching. That means we shouldn't, I'm not even hitting that daily standard. He said, encourage and exhort and admonish people daily as you see the day approaching. Daily about doing it for God, doing the gospel, being partners, coming together as an assembly, not missing church because my pinky hurts. Or my family schedule ran over time. Or my finances got real tight and I can't put gas in my car. You need to tell God, I need gas. Come on now. Or I just got in a fight at the house with my family and I can't come to church now. No. We're partners. Praise God. I appreciate y'all praying for me because I looked at me like, what is he talking about tonight? Now turn to where we said seven areas we should think well about adversity. So I'm going to read verse 12 again, 1 Philippians 1, 12. Is this helping y'all? Try to give you a well-balanced diet. Amen. So he said, but I would that you were, he's got up there, would you should all understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, whenever we ever put our hands to the plow and start moving forward, the enemy's going to show his ugly head. He's going to bring adversity. Everybody say adversity. So he's telling us this is how we should be thinking about adverse circumstances that come up in our world. Jesus said, in this world you should have tribulation. Psalms 34:19 tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. In Timothy, it tells us if you live godly in Christ, you will suffer persecution. So people will bring it. The devil will use people to bring pressure of circumstances in your life. He will use circumstances to get you off your mission, to break away you from being a good partner. And so he's telling us that adversity promotes the progress of the gospel. That's what we should be thinking about. This is an opportunity for God's word to come to pass, so we're going to promote the gospel further. I'm going through So this is just a test. And if I pass the test, we make progress. That's how you should think. You shouldn't think setback and situational setback and then I got to stay still or go back, digress instead of progress. Number two, adversity provides opportunities to witness. See, when they see you going through with joy and hope through your trials, it's a witness to others. When they say, man, you got all that drama going on, we see how the devil attacked your body, but how you responded with joy and hope in Christ was a really powerful statement to me. Amen. And then you get to share your testimony after you've gone through of how he healed you, how he delivered you, how he broke you through and brought you out. Number three, adversity produces courage. See, when you step up, you encourage others to step up. Man, that brother or that sister is going through all kinds of stuff, but they're still faithful, they're still focused, they still have faith and expectancy and joy, and they worship God like there's no tomorrow. They're not wearing a frown, and they're not looking like they got a dark shadow over their head. Number four, adversity proves the character of our friendships. See, when you fall out, flake out, and frown up, when you're going through adversity, you're basically saying, I'm not a good partner, because that's not encouraging. It's not always encouraging when you're always giving the report of the devil to people and telling about what the devil's doing. And then, what the devil's doing? Well, the devil's doing stuff to everybody. But if you have the right mindset about it, it will provide strength to your character and strength to your friendships and relationships in Christ. Amen? Yeah. Fake friends run and hide when adversity comes your way. That's I always know when people start missing church and missing services because of problems and troubles, adversity, I know there's a character issue. It's always a character issue. I don't have time to kind of dwell on that. Faith friends align, agree, and assemble. We're going to get through this by the grace and help of God. We're going to rejoice our way through this storm. Praise God. It's not a situation in the church where we need to create an environment where it says misery loves company. Amen. We need to, by faith, keep here and stay faithful to remain to the work of the gospel and the will of God for your life and for the life of the church. Number five, two more and we'll close. Adversity brings personal growth in our lives. Philippians 1:19 through 20. He said, I know that this shall turn, according to my earnest expectation and hope. That's that prayer thing again. This shall turn around because of you praying. Paul was going through adversity. He said, but it's going to turn around because you pray and I'm believing. Amen. And when you don't make progress, it's usually a sign of inward poverty. When you have no growth or progress, you plateaued. That means you keep going through the same thing over again, but you're not making any progress. You didn't learn the lessons from the last time you went through. The devil just hit repeat. You know, we used to do dishes, wash, rinse, and repeat. So the devil just wash you through adversity, rinse you off through a little tribulation, and he says, repeat. Amen. Good growth and progress means I've grown up inside. I've made progress inside. That I've responded faithfully and obediently in adversity and troubles, doing the work of the gospel and doing the will of God for my life. I don't quit. I don't cool off. I don't calm down. I stay focused. I stay fired up, and I stay faithful. Number six, adversity purifies our motives. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So when you got battle scars, real Christian battle scars, you got boldness and confidence in your testimony because I've experienced the goodness of God. I've experienced the grace of God. I've experienced the delivering power of God in my life so I can stand, and I'm not trying to go home early. I'm not trying to quit before my time's up. I want to run through the tape and finish well, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, number seven, adversity prepares us to see life and death in perspective. Life offers the opportunity to serve the Lord more fully, while death offers blessings of finally completing and knowing our Savior in person, face to face. Praise God. Y'all get something out of that tonight? Please stand with me.